Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
Hey, we're going to move kind of just to our time of a message, and I want to share this quick word with you guys. So we're in our series that we're calling Voices. This is the last day of that series. And what we've been asking the question of, what we've been kind of leaning into is asking the question, who are we listening to? As we engage just with life, we're like, man, we have so many voices that speak into our lives, right? All the way from our mother-in-law, okay? To the people around us at work, to our culture, on billboard after billboard after billboard, to commercials, to God, to pastor guy up front, to all sorts of people that are speaking into our lives, different things, okay? And we start to just wonder, like, who can we speak to, and or who can we listen to? Who should we be listening to? And it's interesting, because one of the weeks I really leaned into how oftentimes we lean into ourself, right? Our own inner voice. And what does that mean? What does that look like? And that's what we've been kind of talking about. That's kind of what we've been dealing with these past couple weeks leading up to Easter, really. And ultimately, my desire has been to still us in this Lent season, Lent being the time leading up to Easter, during Lent, kind of to still the voices a little bit that we might hear really from God, that we might hear his voice and him speaking into our lives certain truths that we maybe need to hear. Okay, that's where we've been. Today, we're gonna kind of stay in line with that, but go a little bit at it a little bit differently. I'm just gonna do the reading this morning, and we're actually gonna read from John chapter 12, starting at verse 9. And I have it up on the screen and stuff for you. But basically what it is it's the story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a donkey, okay? You've maybe heard about it. It's Palm Sunday. Today is Palm Sunday. A lot of churches around the United States and around the world are celebrating Palm Sunday, this time where we don't actually have palms in here, okay? But, you know, some churches are doing like their little palm branches and stuff like that, Palm Sunday. But this is what it's kind of celebrating, okay? And we're going to kind of engage with that a little bit too, but I'm going to do a little twist on it. Here it is. When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well. That's actually kind of funny. Because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. All right? Stick with me. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written. This is in Zechariah. "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified after the resurrection, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard that he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that they're gaining nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him." There's our reading for the day. Let's say a prayer and then we're going to dive in. Lord, open up our hearts right now to hearing from you. Speak clearly, God. Help me, God, as kind of a voice piece here to simply convey what you want us to hear. Not a word more, not a word less. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So this past week, I was at a gathering with some pastors and church leaders that we're partnered together with to plant actually churches in the north side of Houston. You know, we call this kind of this network that's beginning to form the Harvest Planters, or the Harvest Partnership, basically Harvest Partnership. to plant more churches in the North Houston area. And so I was with these guys, and I got a picture here. This was literally just down the road here at Momentum Coffee, and we gather together basically twice a month, and we pray, we talk. What's represented here is basically six different churches, okay, and partnering together to begin to ask the question, how can we plant churches in the area? And this happened this past week. And I was literally sitting right there in the empty chair, and I stood up and I took this picture of the group, okay? Very exciting to be part of this. I mean, the dwelling getting to be part of this is something that for some of you may not understand, but like, this is huge. This is a huge blessing to be able to partner together with others. So we're not just going it our own, right? And then to plant more churches where people can come as they are. It's so exciting to me. It's one of the just things that's fueling me up, honestly. And so I literally stood up, took this picture, and then a few minutes later, I get a text message from my sister. And the text message says, Grandpa, we need to pray. Grandpa is having a code blue. What does that mean? So, you know, I'm texting back, praying, but what the heck is a code blue? Well, his heart has stopped. My grandpa's heart had stopped, right? That's what I guess a code blue is. And so my sister texts, pray for him. He's in a code blue. They're trying to revive him. And so I literally grab these guys, church planters, church pastors, senior pastors of big church, right? Some elite, great, incredible men of God, one woman of God. And I'm just like, hey guys, my grandpa is, his heart's not working right now. And they're working on him. Can we just say a prayer? And so, absolutely. So we just bowed our heads and I just prayed, Lord, get grandpa's heart going. Get grandpa's heart going. In Jesus' name, amen. That was my prayer. And it was interesting. It was just like, yeah, there it is. That's what I desire. Please, Lord. A couple of minutes later, probably about 10 minutes later, I get a phone call. And so I was like, hey guys, I got to quick grab this. It was from my other sister. And so I stood up, grabbed the phone, and my sister's crying. And she says, grandpa has died. Grandpa's died. And so this past week, my grandpa died. And actually tomorrow morning, I'm gonna fly up to Wisconsin and be part of the funeral and stuff like that. And then we'll be back Thursday for our Good Friday service and stuff like that. But I'm personally gonna go. Jackie, they're gonna stay here, but flying up because grandpa has died. And as I've thought about that a little bit this past week, and as I was thinking about this text, I was thinking about, here was like a very specific prayer. Very specific. And as I think back and I meditate on that moment, it's interesting because I actually really, I wasn't even nervous. I wasn't even nervous, honestly. Like I was like, God, get his heart going again. In Jesus' name, amen. I didn't do the whole like, and Lord, whatever else you want. No, I didn't say any of that. I was just like, boom. And in faith, I really believed. I was like, he's like, they're going to get his heart going again. His grandpa. That's how it's going to be. Like, I believed it. I got other pastors, leaders praying it. Like, and they're not just kind of praying it. They're really praying it. They're really desiring. Like, hopefully Seth's grandpa's heart gets going again. And we prayed and we prayed. We prayed for something specific that God would answer favorably. And he said, no. He said no. Have you ever prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed? Maybe it was like a one little prayer, but maybe it was like prayed and prayed and prayed. And God said, no. You ever do that? Man, that can be tough, right? That can be really tough. When we pray for something specific, my wife and I, our family, we gather together around God's word and prayer every night. Right? And we gather together and we pray and we pray. And we got people on our list that we're praying for that have cancer. Mr. Bill, James, Patrick, we're always praying for them. We actually added a lady, a seminary professor's wife to our list of cancer this past week. Renee, we'll be praying for her now. We pray and pray. When I think of Bill Meyer, who we prayed for, I think, years, didn't we, babe? It was like years that we prayed for this guy and then he dies. And we're praying, Lord, we know you are the healer. We know you can touch. We know you work miracles. We know you can do stuff. We know you can come and show up and work something incredible. And then he says, no. What do we do? What do we do? How do we respond? How do we understand this idea of God saying no? And as I was thinking about our text, I know it doesn't jump out at us as a text that's really teaching this. But I tell you what, the more I looked at this text, the more I saw God saying no. Now, I'm going to teach you what I mean by that. I'm going to share. God saying no. So, what's going on in this text? You can throw up the first verses here, Lyle. What's going on? Well, Jesus had been in Bethany. Now, Bethany is just outside, a mile and a half outside Jerusalem. Okay? Just a mile and a half outside Jerusalem is this town, this little village called Bethany. And this is where a guy named Lazarus lived. Lazarus with his two sisters, Mary and Martha, right? And actually what happens, and I got to kind of go through it fast, but essentially Jesus hears that his friend Lazarus is very sick, and then he ends up finding out that Lazarus has died. And so he goes to Mary and Martha, and they're like, oh my gosh, he's dead. And Jesus is like, oh, settle down. I am the resurrection. I am the life. And Jesus shows up at Lazarus's tomb, and he ends up saying, Lazarus, come out. Now, this guy's been dead for 4 days. Okay? This guy's been dead for 4 days. And all of a sudden, out like zombie-like guy comes. Okay? Wrapped in toilet paper. And so Lazarus comes out, and everybody in the community and everybody in the area begins to be like, are you kidding me? Lazarus has been raised from the dead. I mean, there's an energy. There's a buzz around town. People know what's up. I mean, I'm going up to the funeral tomorrow, right, for Grandpa. But if I were to tell you that Grandpa's going to be alive tomorrow, I got a feeling some of you might purchase a ticket. You know what I'm saying? I want to go talk to Grandpa Schrader. I don't even know this guy, but I feel like I want to talk to him. So these people are buzzing because Lazarus has been raised from the dead. This is an incredible story, and everybody's talking about it, and everybody's like, Jesus is the one. See, Jesus begins to become, he starts to get perceived as the yes man. He's the guy where God is working, and our prayers are being answered with yes. I want him raised from the dead. Boom. And he can do it. This is our yes man guy. And so they're starting to wonder, maybe we could get behind this guy. Maybe we could get behind this guy. And so the next spot is Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And on the road, that mile and a half towards Jerusalem and then into Jerusalem, people are starting to say, hey, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And people start to, I want to go check him out. I want to go see the guy who raised somebody from the dead. I want to go meet this guy. I want to go see him. I want to go maybe see what's up. What is he teaching? What's going on? What is he suggesting? Is there anything for me that I could, maybe I got some people who are sick. Could I bring them to Jesus? And so people start lining the roads and they start putting their coats down and they start laying palm branches down and they're waving palm branches and they're saying, here comes the king. And then we find Jesus, right? We find Jesus who's riding on this donkey. Who's riding on this donkey? I thought about riding my motorcycle in today again, but that's just for the special people that a year ago. Didn't I do that a year ago? That wasn't on Palm Sunday. I rode my motorcycle around and stuff. Well, how would Jesus come in today? I don't think it'd be a Harley, right? I don't know. But instead, Jesus comes into Jerusalem on a donkey. Now, this is incredible because if you look at some of the old prophecies, look at Zechariah 9. Look at Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous. He's on a donkey. And so people are starting to be like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This guy just raised somebody from the dead. He's been working miracles. He's been doing what he's doing. They sound like they're having so much more fun than us. He's working miracles. He's doing what he does. And now he's coming in on a donkey in fulfillment of prophecy. He's our king. This is our guy. And so they start singing, Hosanna, Hosanna. And this is in fulfillment of Psalm 118, verse 25, where it says, save us, we pray, O Lord. But see, Hosanna is a Hebrew word. And if you go into Psalm 118, save us, we pray, O Lord, is Hosanna. That is Hosanna. So in Hebrew, it wouldn't say, save us, we pray, O Lord, we pray. It's Hosanna, O Lord, we pray. Give us success. Hosanna, Hosanna. So these people, they know what they're saying. They're saying, here comes our king. Save us. Save us. Save us from the oppression that we're undergoing. Save us. We need a king. We need somebody who can come and give us what we need. Please, God. Please start Grandpa's heart. Just get it kicking again. No. 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 See, I missed this earlier, but God's no, bring this back up, Lyle. God's no is always better than our yes. God's not, that's a little bit, man, don't, some of you are going to take that too far. Just let that sit on you though. God's no is always better than our yes. When he says no, what's he doing? What's he doing? As I think about these people who are coming out to see Jesus, as I think about these people, I think of the people who are maybe checking him out. Like the guy who really doesn't believe in this crap, but he's like, well, the guy rose somebody from the dead. So he takes off of work to just kind of like go check it out. Hands are in his pockets though. He's just like, he's kind of looking. And then he sees Jesus riding on a donkey. He's kind of like, And it's interesting because these people are crying out for a king. They're crying out for some kind of savior. And it's kind of And where do we find Jesus just a week later? Just a couple days later, we find Jesus in John chapter 19, verse 19. We find Jesus hanging on a cross. Just a few days after this takes place, we find Jesus hanging on a cross, and there's a sign above him that mockingly, but also with an incredible truth to it, says, King of the Jews. The King. The King of the Jews. But he's dying on a cross. He's dying on a cross. And the hosannas start to kind of go away. And they look to the and they look at the cross and they're like, what? And I think of that guy who just shows up with his hands in his pockets, took off of work maybe to go check out this Jesus guy and just kind of looking in. And he's just like, eh. And in Mark's gospel, we don't have it on the, but in Mark's gospel, at some point, actually, some of the leadership is saying, well, he saved himself, or he saved others, but he can't save himself. He could raise Lazarus from the dead, but look at him now. And that's an incredible thing here, folks. That's an incredible thing when God is like, it's looking like Jesus is the yes man. It looks like Jesus is going to do for us what we need. We need him to move Rome out. We need to be lifted from the oppression that we're feeling. We need to be given food. We need to be taken care of. We need to have our sick healed. We need somebody to just do for us what we need. Hosanna, save us, save us. It's a command. It's actually an imperative in the here. Save us. We need you to save us. And it seems like God says no. But what's he actually doing? What's he actually doing? See, Jesus is simply saying yes in a different way, isn't he? Jesus is bringing a truth that's deeper than what they understand as their need. See, what can happen sometimes for some of us who are just checking out Jesus, like we're just giving him a look. We're just kind of giving him like, let me see what this looks like. Let me dabble with this a little bit. What starts to happen is we start to get in our minds that if we only line ourselves up, if I only read my Bible enough, if I only go to church enough, if I only do this enough, if I do this, then this, then this, then maybe Jesus will do something for me and I'll start to see him kind of work in a way that I desire him to work. I've seen it in this person's life. I've seen it in this person's life. This person's claiming it, but I've never really seen it in my life. So I'm gonna test it out. I'm going to give Jesus a little test run. And what can happen is, as we're giving him the test run, he shows up on a donkey. And we're kind of like, eh. Or he goes to a cross, and we're kind of like, eh. It's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the bang. Come on, give me something. And he hangs on a cross. What's that mean? What's that mean? See, it means that when God is saying no to your perceived need, follow me. When God is saying no to what you perceive as your deepest need, he's saying yes to your real need. See, Jesus goes to the cross. He's actually fulfilling Psalm 118. Save us, O Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, save us. Yeah, I will. I will save you. But it's going to look like this. And you're going to reject me for it because you wanted this. See, when we throw out the cross because it's not the God we're looking for, we throw out the very way in which God brings us salvation. And sometimes what can happen is we can throw God out because he's not doing what we need him to be doing, or we think he needs to be doing. Is God saying no to you today in something? Ever attempting to draw you closer to him, but with his no, you keep pushing him aside. It's not the way it's supposed to look, Jesus. It's supposed to look like this. And we keep pushing them away. Is that you today? See, God's no is always bigger than our yes. God's no is always better than our yes. The disciples didn't even understand it. Did you see that in chapter 12, verse 16? Did you see that? His disciples did not understand these things. His very followers end up screwing this. They don't even fully get it. And that's because Jesus understands he's the only one that's going to be able to understand that he's got to go and he's got to fight hell. He's got to fight against death itself. He's got to take death and put death to death. Put death to death. Yeah. That's what he's got to do. He's got to defeat Satan. He's got to defeat sin. And the way in which this has to happen is through his death on the cross. And so God dying on the cross is foolishness to the world, but for the people of God, it's the very power of God. It's how we're saved. It's how we're saved, folks. That's why we look to him and we keep focused in on him and what he's done for us, even when it fully doesn't understand, makes sense to us. I was thinking about this. Listen. Jesus says no to the earthly reign. And he does this actually a bunch. In John chapter 1, Jesus, Nathanael comes and says, you're the king. In John chapter 6, the people actually want to make Jesus king because he's just fed the 5,000. And they're like, hey, this is the kind of king we want, somebody who can feed us with food. And Jesus pushes it aside. Here in John chapter 12, the people want to make him king. This will be awesome. He's our king. Hosanna. Hosanna. Zechariah riding on a donkey. Perfect. He's our king. But the king they really needed was the king of their heart. That was their real need. And today, that's our real need. Is a king who sits on our heart. No matter what, who trumps even you. You're not like the little king above the little governor guy. He's really the king. of your life, of your heart. And it's odd. I get it. It looks weird sometimes when it's like, well, he's wearing a crown of thorns for you. For you. This is what he's doing for us, guys. He goes to the cross to save us. Isaiah 55. Man, highlight this baby in your Bible. God says, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. My ways aren't your ways. You might not get it all. You might not fully understand it. And when I think of being a parent, one of the worst things I could do as a parent is give my kids everything they want. Amen? Right? I mean, one of the worst things I can do for my kids is my kids would be 500 pounds, have 70-inch plasmas, and just play, you know, video games. That's what they'd look like. Yeah. Oh, that wasn't my kid? Okay, nice. Levi.
He's not doing that.
Yeah. Right? Now, I get it. Actually, I don't even want to talk about this. In my notes, I don't even have these notes because I didn't want to talk about it. But I get it. This is difficult. It's easier when it's a 91-year-old grandpa who's lived a good life. Right? That's easy because it's like, well, he lived a pretty good life. He had a heart attack, died in his chair. Come on. That's not a bad way to go. Like, it gets tough when it's kids. It gets tough when it's people close to us. It gets tough when it's real. And it's, I get it. And I'm not bringing you all of the answers to those questions other than Jesus. And I get that. And Jesus, and in him, you know, the Corinthians talks about this, in Christ is yes. It's always yes to his promises. But he doesn't make some promises. He doesn't promise us that my kids make it to 18 or 19. He doesn't promise that you don't get cancer. He doesn't promise some of that stuff. What he promises is that he's working all things for good for those who love him. He's doing those kinds of things, okay? So I'm not trying to bring like, oh, it's just really that easy. I don't have the answer to evil today. Okay, that's where this ends up going. That's where this sermon goes with people who are in like debate and stuff. I don't have the answer for evil. All I'm saying is Jesus for you. He comes and he provides you, he meets your greatest need. He meets your greatest needs. And you have certain perceived needs. And sometimes he simply says, no. Not yet. I'm still working in this. This is why we look to his second return. We get excited about that. Today, if God is saying no to you, let that draw you closer to him. Let that be a point of trusting in him more and more. May he ever draw you closer. May him on a donkey not fool you into what he's really doing. What are you doing here, Jesus? What are you doing here? And he is working in unexpected ways, folks. Unexpected ways. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, you know I want to go more. You know that. I love it so much, God. I just believe this stuff. I just believe that you have died on a cross. You actually paid the price for all of our sin. I believe that you rose from the dead and that you are alive and well even today, that you are with us even right now in this moment, and that you are working in our lives. God, there are some really challenging things in this room. There's a history here of a people who have gone through things where it's like, how could he let that happen though? And I get that. I get it that there's difficulty there. There's difficulties that are deeper than a 91-year-old grandpa dying. I get it. But Jesus, we do know that you have taken all that crap upon yourself on the cross and you've put it to death. We know there is justice, judgment. And for those who put their faith in you, Jesus, I praise you that that judgment has taken place on the cross. I praise you, Jesus, that there is hope in you. I praise you, oh God, that you have worked in my life this past week. God, you knew that this message hasn't been on my mind since about Wednesday first. I mean, I was going in a different direction, and God, I thank you for how you've shaped it and moved this message to where it needs to be for somebody in this room. Help us to really believe that your no is always better than our yes. Help us to understand, God, that you are working in and underneath oftentimes the things that we're going through, but you're working and you're doing. It's not that you're absent. It's not that you're far off playing checkers with some other God or something. No, you are in our lives. You see it all. You're a part of it all. You know it all, and you're working in it all to help us with our deepest of needs. Help us to be open to that, God, this morning. Lord, we love you, we trust in you, and we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me leave you with a blessing. May our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit bless you and keep you this next week in every single aspect of your life, even where he's saying no. May you continue to trust in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys. You're awesome. Have a great week. The Lord bless you guys. Booyah.